show, listeners. My name is Kerry Morton, third generation professional wrestler and the host of The Family Business. On The Family Business, I get the unique perspective and honor to talk with second, third, and fourth, and even so on, generation of professional wrestlers and hear their perspective on the business. How cool is that? You know, speaking of coolness, I happen to see some swagger on the other side of my screen, and I just happen to think you can't have a family business without one of the biggest, quote-unquote, huge family dynasty in the professional wrestling game today. So ladies and gentlemen, help me introduce Lance Anahi. Lance, my man, thanks for being
here. Oh, man. Man, thanks for having me, man. You know, it's all about the family business.
It's all about the family business. Speaking about the family ties, man, we gotta go into some work real quickly upon just the history tree, the ancestral tree. Something that comes to mind real quickly is just, you know, giving the ad-free show listeners a little pertinent perspective, the son of Samu of the Head Shrinkers, grandson of Alpha the Wild Samoan, nephew of Rikishi, Umaga, Yokozuna, Manu, and La Smooth, baby. Cousin of Brock, Roman Reigns, Usos, Solo Fatu, and Jacob Fatu. My man, what a crazy lineage. And now,
man, that tree is huge, man.
That tree is huge. And now you're destined to make one for yourself. So what's been up with you, man? What's new?
Man, you know, everything's been good, man. You know, last December, I had a setback on my career. I had a rotator cuff surgery, so I was out for 6 months with that. And, man, once I got going, man, MLW offered me a great deal, man. And I've just been rocking and rolling with them and Jacob, man. So doing nothing but enjoying and having fun again.
That's fantastic to hear. I was going to – you know, something that comes to mind on the family business is hearing kind of the perspective of growing up in the business, especially following our father's footsteps or our grandfather's footsteps. And with that, you know, Jacob, something that comes to mind is just wanted to hear your perspective upon, like, what is the earliest memory that comes to mind when you think of professional wrestling? What's something that, like, really sticks out to you? You're like, man, this is what made me want to get in professional wrestling.
Man, like, growing up, man, I was always around the business, you know, just, man, being with your fathers and my grandfather, seeing all of them, and my grandfather also running shows out of the Pennsylvania area. So I was always around it. And especially like now working, and I have been in ring with guys that my dad went in the ring with. And they said, man, I just remember you always rolling around. Your dad always set you right on his suitcase and wheel you right in the locker room. And then we used to just pass you along. Everybody was holding you during the matches, man. And now it's, just growing up, I never wanted to do it. I was always a baseball player.
That's right.
I had an interest, like I would do like 6-7 years old, man. I was hitting 450 splashes, just doing little run-ins with my father, just doing little spots. But then, I just never wanted to pursue it. And then I had a knee injury my senior year in high school, which set me back. And then I told my father, I said, man, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to pursue. And from there, man, I was trained for 6 months and had my first match right after that. And man, from there, 13 years later, here I am.
The rest was history. That's right, man. Speaking of baseball, bro, we gotta talk about this a little, because a lot of people don't know. You were a huge perspective in the baseball game in high school, and especially in the Pennsylvania area. What was that like? Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people get to say, hey, I played baseball in school, but a lot of people don't necessarily get to say what you got to say. And it's like, hey, I was a big top prospect in the country in baseball. What was that like?
Man, it was huge, man. Like, I've been playing since I was 4 or 5 years old, man, and I just followed my dreams. And, you know, like everyone expects me to wrestle, but I always push myself the hardest to do something different. Just like Roman Reigns and the Usos, man, like their always first love was football. And wrestling was never on their mind until, you know, as my grandfather would say, take care of what you want to take care of first, because wrestling ain't going anywhere. That's right. And that's what I was always heard. And, man, like, yeah, Pennsylvania, man, I was killing it out here, man. I was, man, so long ago, but I went to Washington College. I went out to Washington State to go to college. And man, right before I started, man, I was just like, this ain't what I want to do anymore. This is, I need to go back east to continue my wrestling career.
I get that. I completely get that too. My father's the same way. He's like, listen, wrestling will always be here, but you got some things you got to accomplish right now. As before I got in this chat with you today, I just finished my final for college. So I completely get it. Some people are like, you know, you need to put your eggs and all in one basket. And I'm a firm believer of no. I want to put my all kinds of different baskets. I love things. So I completely get what you're saying. You know, I was going to mention to you, when I broke in the business 3 years back, officially had, you know, started my professional wrestling career, my dad got me in the ring with the legends, with the grizzled vets and the wrestling. Mm-hmm. Something I could go on and talk about, but I want to hear your perspective. Who was someone that your dad threw you in the ring with and like, this is where you're going to learn, son. This is where you're going to get a lesson.
Man, like, when I first started, man, I went in the ring with, like, Homicide, man. I went in the ring with Eddie Kingston, my own uncle, Alpha Jr., Dan Moff, who's a monster up here in the Northeast. Man, just learning from them. And, man, and then, like, growing up, especially with Homicide, man, in the locker room, I always heard Homicide stiff, man. So I was like, man, when I first had to get in the ring with him, I was kind of worried. But, man, I was like, man, all right, here we go. I'm going to throw the shots right back at him. But, man, he's just cool to be in the ring with. He's smooth. He may look stiff, man, but it's nothing but love and respect for both sides.
That's exactly it. I just finished up Hard Times 3, Chalmette, Louisiana. I happened to beat Homicide for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship. And I'm telling you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Went to war with Homicide there. Got the hell beat out of me. But you know what? It was an experience I hope to never forget, that's for sure. And
man,
you know,
did you take the cup killer?
I took so he set up for it. Thankfully, I landed on my feet behind him. Running knee and struck him. But you know, that was just the beginning of what I was in store for. But
oh yeah, because I was always worried about taking that cop killer. I was like, I'm good.
Brutal. But man, what an animal in that ring. The Notorious 187 shout out on that free show.
So for sure, man. Appreciate the
experience. Now, let me ask you something. The independence. You broke in the business. You started to make a name for yourself. Another Samoan is coming into the professional wrestling industry. That's always big news. Always huge news. And it catches it sparks the attention of wrestling fans. So what was it like? What's the momentum kind of leading into the wrestling ring? What did you have a gimmick in mind of some sort that you're like, you know what? I want to steer my way. I want to make my own direction. I want to make my own path. What happened there?
Man, what I just wanted to do, like when I first started, man, I just wanted to be a little different. Like always the Usos were like in my head, you know, being family. I was like, all right, I like the bright colors. I want to wear that. I want the kids to love me. I want the girls to love me. I just want everything. Oh, yeah. And I was like, man, but there's one thing. I was like, there's not a Samoan high flyer. I said, so I think this is what I want to do. And then that's when I started doing the 450 splash, just diving over the top, man, because there's not many Samoans. Like, we were always known to be savage, not fly. We were scared to leave our feet. But I just want to be the different one, and I want to be the pretty boy doing it.
Love it. I love it. You know, you're starting to catch interest at this time in the early stage of your wrestling career. And it happens to kind of get cool. We fast forward a few years. We go back to December 29th, 2014. WWE SmackDown. You get to have a TV match, if not mistaken, against the
Ascension.
This is against the Ascension. That's right.
Okay.
You and Rhett Titus versus the Ascension. Okay, so listen, I got to be in the ring with the Ascension, Connor, and the crew there, and telling you, those guys are not to mess with. So you catch the tension of WWE. This is early in your career, too. This is only 4 years in. What was it like kind of like, hey, listen, guy, we're going to throw you on TV tonight, and you're gonna get some shit in. This is a big opportunity for you. What's going on here?
Man, I forget who it was, man, but I was doing extra work, and at first they didn't want to use me. And then I want to say it was Road Dogg. Road Dogg said, Lance, come here. And he goes, hey, man, would you mind doing this spot? And I said, man, I'll do anything. Whatever y'all need, I'll do. You know, I'm always game, you know, being only 4 years in at the time, man, I was, man, y'all want me to jump off the top? I'll jump off anywhere. But yeah, like, and then they went over, they were like, oh, we just want you to take the finish. I said, all right, cool. So we went out there, man. And at the time, man, like, I heard that Vince wasn't a big fan on the Ascension's finish because that was only their second match on the main roster. And the show before, which was the Raw, their debut, was against Miz and Sandow. And it didn't come out that great. Man, but then when I took it, they just loved it, man. Like, they had the doctors on me. They had everything. They said, you all right? Man, and one of my favorite bumps was always to turn inside out.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to do. And then, man, they thanked me for everything, for making it look good and great, because we got a hell of a just a reaction from it, and it was awesome.
That's really funny you mentioned that about the Vince story upon him not liking the finish, because I was recently talking to Connor. And he's told me the same thing. He's like, dude, when we made our debut, they didn't really care for our finish. He's like, Vince is the one that kind of directed us to give the finish to us. And he liked this. And we performed it in the ring days prior leading into their TV debut. And he's like, and Vince was all about it. And then we did it. He didn't like it anymore. So it just flipped. So he didn't like it anymore.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, man, I was just like, man, glad I was able to make it look great, man.
So when you come back to Gorilla, does Vince grab you? Does he happen to say, like, hey, man, good stuff out there? Like, maybe something?
Nah, honestly, they just thanked me, and then they had a doctor go check on me. they made me go right to the doctor, make sure everything was good, man, because it looked like I basically landed on the back of my neck. So.
Jeez.
I was good.
No, that's great. That's great to hear. No, I was just saying, like, you know, that notorious bump that you took led to some really awesome opportunities for Lance, especially with the going back to Orlando for WWE NXT, made you a TV match down that way, and getting several invitations to the WWE Performance Center. So what's going on through the mind? I know you got the chance to talk with Matt Bloom. You got the chance to see your family within the WWE. So what's going on? I know war is starting to spread. Locker room news is Lance is starting to make a name for himself here within this company. So what's it like going down there? You're training. Do you get any really good advice to go back on the indie circuit and take in?
Man, so I went to Orlando to Performance Center 3 times. My first tryout, man, was with Bill DeMont was the first time. It was his last tryout class before he got let go. And then every 2 years around the same time, they invited me back, and I was just trying to keep figuring out why they keep bringing me back, but I'm not getting that paper. And then I talked to William Regal. They want me to work on my promos. They want me to work on my body. And so I just kept trying. And I feel like I put on the weight, because my first tryout, I went in there at probably like 155, 60 pounds.
Wow.
So then I put on weight, man, then next one I'm 200, and then I'm 220. So it's like, I don't know which way they want me to go. So I never got like a for sure answer. So, man, I just keep doing the tryouts and just coming right back on the indie, man, just trying to keep making a name, changing the way I look, changing different work style, changing whatever way possible, just keep getting noticed. And yeah, and then right after my last trial, which was in 2019, they said, yeah, we don't have nothing for you at the moment. And then I got the call in May of 2019 saying, hey, 2 days before Raw, they're like, hey, we're flying you out to Kansas City. Are you available? And of course, yes.
Yeah.
I'm down. I don't know anything. What's going on? I was like, all right, maybe this is the deal. Like, I'm going to get a break. And especially because for extras, they don't really fly everyone out at all. But man, they got my rental car, my hotel, my flight, everything. And then I arrived into Kansas City, go to Raw, and they're like, hey, it's you and Shane McMahon tonight. I said, oh, damn. Like, no idea. I just found out 2 days ago I was flying to Kansas City for Raw. and now I'm here getting in the ring with Shane. And what an experience, man. Like, I knew he was stiff.
So, to get there, you arrive in Kansas City, you go to the production meeting, the agents come out, they find you, and you're like, hey, listen, you're wrestling Shane McMahon tonight. What? Obviously, a lot of things are going through your head, so you immediately, you got to go over your match and go find your agents. So what was Shane like coming to talk to you? And he's like, hey, man, this is, I got you tonight. Like, well, what's going on there?
Man, so I was kind of like, man, all right, what are we going to do? Because I kind of, like, before we went, I knew Roman was doing the little feud with Shane and Drew and all of them at the time. So I knew it might have been something with them, but I didn't think it was going to be an actual match. So, yeah, once they tell us and then they pull me and Shane to go over everything, they tell us what we're doing. And then Shane, man, he was honestly cool. Like, we were sitting and catering together, talking. We were by ringside talking. He was just making me feel very comfortable to get in the ring with him and just going over spots. And then he goes, oh, what do you want to hit? What do you want to do? And then I gave him all my ideas, which we had in. We had planned to go out there. So at first they gave us, I believe it was 7 minutes they gave us in the ring. And it ended up being cut down to 4 because Brock Lesnar's boombox. It was a day he did the boombox.
Boombox.
That went a little too long. So they had to cut our time. So it definitely, it took out my whole shine. So all I got in was a drop kick, which I was cool, man. You know, just to be even in the ring on Raw in a great time. And then tapping out, and then my cousin Roman coming down to make the save, and just me and him in the ring was awesome.
That's so great to hear, man. I love hearing the stories. That's what makes a family business what it is in this podcast. Is although I'm expected to talk with other generational wrestlers, it's about that moment. It's creating that moment when you're in the ring and you're looking around, you're trying to take all this in, and then here's, you know, the biggest superstar on the planet, Roman Reigns, coming down to give you a hand, and it's family. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm in this business. I know we're on TV right now, but at the end of the day, it's got to be cool to say, hey, like, that's my family member. Like, you know,
it's
really cool to see.
And I made great 8x10, right, too.
Oh, hell, 8x10. Listen, I went to the Indies after that and made all kinds of money. Dude, I really, really cool talking about that. Now I got to go on a little bit more. So you're sparking the interest in WWE. Major League Wrestling calls again. And you're on a pure basis from, if I'm not mistaken, 2018 to 2020, right? No contract, just pure.
Yeah, no contract.
Yep. That's right, which is great. Which is, you know, oh, that's how a lot of us guys get our break in this business, is just doing pure appearance contracts with going to the scene and watching professional wrestling and getting knowledge and learning from these guys on top in the companies. And they start giving us a little push when we start showing up every so often. So Major League Wrestling calls Court and the team there, and they're really, really taking a liking to you guys, and they have Jacob Fatu within the company, and they start developing this idea. Now, when this idea came about, I know this has got to be a little overwhelming to say, because you're pushed to a big company, you know, everything's kind of going into a battle and going into play. So how does your training regimen going into kind of leading in and where we're going to the Samoan SWAT team?
Man, when they gave us, so to rewind a little bit, I was doing 2018 to 2021, the per appearance with MLW. They originally offered me a 5-year deal in 2018. Wow. They, unfortunately, 5 years was more than I wanted to be locked in. We couldn't agree on anything, so I just stuck to the per appearance. And then after I just kept going, I had great matches with Rich Swann, Myron Reed, Wheeler Yuta. Like, I was in the ring with all of them there. And then that's when they brought the idea, hey, we want to bring you in and as a Samoan SWAT team. So first, I was like, all right. I was cool with it. And then I was like, I had mixed emotions, because if you're going to use the name, it has to be brought right. Everything story-wise, we can't be a joke. We can't, like, I had to hear the full game plan, what they had lined up for us. And then it wasn't me and Jacob, because, you know, me and Jacob's, my dad and Jacob's dad and my uncle Rikishi are the original SST. And then they threw Juicy in there, who's Tongan. So he's not really part of the family, but he's family. He was trained by my uncle Rikishi and a few others out in the Bay Area. So we accepted it. And man, but once they did the rundown, me and Jacob, man, we were still iffy because they're like, oh, we want y'all to be selling stuff on the streets. We're like, hold up. Like, we just want to go out there and beat people's asses basically and destroy. We don't want to be selling gimmicks on the street of Philly. And but then once they like kept going on with the story and now we're progressing, man, I'm glad. And I got the blessing of my dad and Rikishi and just to use the name and carry it on. Because at first they were worried because, you know, WWE bought the name Samoan SWAT Team. They bought the Head Shrinkers. They own my dad recently signed a WWE Legends contract. And this spring, the Samoan SWAT Team action figures are coming out.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude. So it's a WWE Legacies Series 18. It's the Samoan SWAT Team, Paul Heyman, and Hulk Hogan. The four of them are all coming out this spring. Man. So, you know, we were iffy about using that name because of that reason also. But, yeah, man, from there, they just kept feeding us great stuff and we just kept going with it. And whatever they tell us to do in the ring, we just overstep and just execute to make ourselves even look even bigger and stronger.
That's what it's all about, man, is protecting yourself too within these companies. And, you know, speaking of something too, I got to go out on a limb a little bit and talk about Juicy. I met Juicy back at the Collective. So I'm going to rewind for a second. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I see this little Twitter post by just a fan with about 30 followers, and he posts a picture of Juicy setting up the wrestling ring at the Collective of GCW in Indianapolis, right during the midst of the pandemic in Indiana. So I see this little picture of Juicy, and they said, this guy flew himself out from LA on his dime after he just worked almost a 48-hour shift. You there? Hello? Hello? Oh. Hey, you there? Hey, you there?
Man. Yeah, yeah. Man, I dropped the headphone and it literally fell and turned off. I was like, oh.
It's okay. It's all right. I'll let Evan know here in just a second, but we'll just recoup from where we just were. I'm gonna introduce you. Okay, is that cool?
Yep.
All right, let's do it again. Here we go. So, man, I gotta go out on a limb here and I gotta talk about Juicy for a second. And the story behind Juicy, you know, I happen to see that day, the Collective 2020 GCW. Indiana, right during the midst of the pandemic. I see this Twitter post during the early day. It's a wrestling fan of some sort. I took a picture of Juicy at ringside, and he was just setting up the ring, and he was minding his own business. And he said that this guy flew himself out on his own dime out from LA to Indiana just after working almost a 48-hour shift, immediately hopped on a flight, came over to GCW just looking for an opportunity. And when I read this on Twitter, you know, I had like 100 likes at the time. And I was just like, I was amazed. I was like, this guy, like I went and talked to him right then. I looked at the venue. I had a match there soon and I like stopped and I dropped everything I was doing and I went and found him. And I was like, dude, come here for a second. I was like, is this post real? And I showed him, I was like, is this post right here real? And he was like, yeah, no, it's real. He said, I didn't see that's on Twitter. And at the time it had maybe 60, maybe to 100 likes. So I go find my dad. He's at the building. He's wrestling Joey Janela this night at spring break. And I'm like, dad, you got to look at this, man. This guy flew himself out on his own dime, bought his own hotel room, bought his own expenses, just looking for an opportunity to help set up the wrestling ring here at GCW. At the time, I have a good relationship with Brett Lauderdale, as I still do now, the owner of the wrestling. I happened to loop Brett in, and I'm like, Brett, man. I was like, oh, listen, I don't have much pull here. I'm just breaking in this business. But have you ever, like, have you saw this post right here? Have you maybe considered, could we, like, put this guy in the clusterfuck battle royal?
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Joey Janela Spring Break clusterfuck battle royal. Excuse me.
Oh, yep. Here at
and he said, yeah, let's do it. And, dude, I when my dad went and found Juicy and he went with Brett and he told him that, hey, like, we want to put you in this battle royal, the way his face lit up made everything in this business what it is to me right now, of how much I love and adore professional wrestling and how grateful I am to be in this business and the opportunities I've been given. Because just to see him so excited to go out there and live his dream and in front of GW, the hottest independent wrestling promotion in the world, and do his thing. And we're in the back and he's excited. He's put on his wrestling gear real quickly. We're about to go out. And he has a spot, man. And I pitched the spot and I'm like, why don't you put me on his shoulders? And then we put another guy on his shoulders. And then we put another guy on, like, we had a three-way, like a Samoan drop.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it. He was like, let's do it. And I made sure I'm friends with Wrestling of Unicorns. This is a gift. And I was like, guys, please, please get this clip. I want to make sure this guy, you know, blows up. Sure enough, it happens. You know, that night, the picture's taken, the big gif's taken, blows up, thousands and thousands of like. My dad does a little story on him on his Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And man,
that's how I seen it, man.
Yeah,
like right on your dad's post, and then from there, I was like, oh damn! I said, see, this is what it's all about, man. Like, and so I met Juicy my first time when I wrestled out for APW out in California, and he was just starting training. He was a big guy. He was just, man, he was the first one in the building to help set the ring up. He was the last one to leave. Right. And he wasn't even working, man. He was just starting training. And from there, once they decided, like, MLW wanted us to tag, man, I said, bro, I said, Juicy's the man.
Juicy's the man. That's
Juicy's the energy that I need, the energy that Jacob needs, man. Because, like, whenever we're out there, he just brings the energy out of everybody. Like, I remember when we were in Atlanta, man. For MLW, we just did a tag match out there, and his entrance was, bro, he was drinking probably like 7 Modelos on the way down the ring, because it was like a big Mexican crowd, and they were just passing, man. He was just partying, waving, playing the drums at the Mexican drum, bro. He was waving the Mexican flag, just having a good time, dancing with everybody, the whole entrance. And then I said, man, are you good to work the match now? He goes, nah. He goes, you got it. I said, yeah, of course I got it. Bro, he was great. He was feeling good, man. And he just brought the energy. Like, we wrestled, it was probably like 1,800 Mexicans. And we wrestled 2 Mexicans. So they thought we were going to be the heels, man. Yeah. As soon as Juicy just flipped that whole crowd, they hated the Mexican wrestlers. They loved us, man. It was awesome, man.
That is great to hear. That is so awesome to hear, man. And that's what makes me love this business. It's not necessarily the things that you would think would happen, but it's the things you wouldn't think would happen, which makes the idea of everything coming along together. And you're like, geez, like, that wasn't even nearly what I was thinking was going to happen in the ring, and it happened. And sure enough, this is where we're at right now. So,
and everyone's just like, man, Juicy's so big, man. But man, he's one of the softest and nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Jeez, fantastic, dude. And please, big shout out to Juicy here on Ad Free Shows. We appreciate you, bro, and thank you for inspiring. You know, Lance, I got to go into a little in the future now. You're signed with Major League Wrestling. You're having a really, really good run right now with lots of momentum on your back. What is 2023 in stake for Lance right now? What do we have kind of coming aboard that you're like, you know what, this is what I want to accomplish within Major League Wrestling, or this is what I want to accomplish within the professional wrestling world?
Man, honestly, I just want to – right now I want to go out for the MLW tag team titles with me and Juicy, and then – my cousin Jacob going for the MLW heavyweight title once again. You know, we're just trying to make moves and carrying that small SWAT team name and just keep it going. And man, from there, man, I think me and Juicy had the talent to work on any company, any show, even Jacob, man. Like, overseas, we've been in talks with AAA already. Like, we're trying to make moves here. So hopefully 2023 is a big year for the Samoan SWAT team.
That's what I love to hear is, you know, pushing the boundaries. That's what I like to see, too, is us young guys. We're hungry. We're young, scrappy, and hungry. Oh. And we're ready.
Man, I don't know about you, man. I'm getting old now.
Oh, come on now. Jesus, please. So let me ask, you know, obviously you're Major League Wrestling and we're in a contract or lockdown, but where's the kind of pre-demo for WWE in the foreseeable future? Is that something that's still on the top of your, in the back of your mind? Like, you know what? Hopefully one day down the road, that's where I'd like to be. That's where I'd like my career to end up at.
Man, hopefully one day, man. I love watching WWE, watching my family, the Bloodline, man, they're just tearing it up, man, in WWE. But as of right now, I'm just focusing on MLW. They gave me the opportunity. They gave me the shot. I'm ready to rock out my deal. And from there, man, all depends where it goes from there. I could stay with MLW longer if they like. WWE, AEW, man, who knows? But I'm just ready to roll with the punches.
That's exactly right. Now, listen. That's a big question I've been waiting the whole podcast to answer, and I got to hear your perspective on it, especially being family. You know, WrestleMania is coming up here in a few more months. You know, the biggest wrestling pay-per-view in the world's coming up, and it kind of sparks everyone's attention, and especially Roman Reigns being the top dog within the wrestling world. What do you think? You see The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Do you think this is something that the Bloodline needs necessarily? Is this something that just the family wants to see? What's your ideas here?
Man, everybody would love to see that. To me, Roman Reigns is on a whole nother level. I think he's above The Rock. I think he's I believe he's probably the best WWE superstar in almost history.
That's awesome. That's all I got.
He stepped up like his game. He went from the doubters, you know, everybody booing him, and he just took that and he grew. And now he's the top dog. He's the high chief, man. We all acknowledge him and his promos between him and the family, especially when him and Jay were feuding, man. Like that just. Every time I watched them, it just brought goosebumps. So, and now with The Rock and talk, man, everybody's going to see who's the real head of the table in the family now.
Oh, yeah, that was
if it happens.
That was big, that was the answer I was looking for right there. That was it. If it were to happen, you know, this could.
Because I heard The Rock in an interview say he's the head of the table, and then I heard him say that Roman Reigns is the head of the table. So now who, man? I'll be watching.
That's great to hear. Now, Lance, my man, where can people find you on social media? Where can the Ad-Free Show listeners go and find you?
Man, I'm all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm starting to get more of Twitter because Facebook, man, it's all right.
What's your username on Twitter?
On Twitter, it's Lance Anawati.
Fantastic. Same thing for Instagram and Facebook?
So Instagram is Lance_Anawati. My original one got hacked. I had to go from there and lost everything, but it's all right. Just got to get my followers back up and ready. But just grinding it out with MLW, and hopefully me and you will get in the ring one day.
That would be awesome.
I wanted to do, man, father and son versus father and son now. But
listen, never say never. I'll tell you that much. Never say never. That's it. Listeners, man, thank you so much for just being a part of my show, Lance. And Ad Free Show listeners, thank you for tuning into the show, listening to it more, and hearing the story of Lance Anawati, man. We appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys here soon. I'm Kerry Morton, along with my special guest, Lance. We're out.